Well, good morning to you all, brothers, sisters, young people, family and friends. And we give you a warm welcome here around the table of our Lord. Whether you're joining us in person or online, we're glad that you could be with us this morning. I'm Brother Sebastian Pitcher. I'll be your chairman here this morning. And serving you with me today, we have our brother Shane Farron, who will lead us to the emblems with his words of exhortation. Our brother Shane has chosen for his exhortation this morning a reading from Leviticus chapter 14 and verses 1 to 23. So now I'll invite our brother Shane to lead us to the emblems with his exhortation, reminding us of Christ and encouraging us all for the week ahead around his theme of becoming clean. Thanks, Shane.
Good morning, everyone, and I hope you're feeling refreshed after having had your extra hour of sleep last night. You might have thought while we were running through that chapter, what a strange reading for the exhort this morning. You might have wondered, how can we connect that to Jesus and the memorials? Or so you may simply have just been hoping that the shot of caffeine in your morning coffee that you had 20 minutes ago will hurry up and start working. Either way, the reason that we'll look at this chapter this morning is because a little while ago I was reading through and I found some what I think are quite profound but fairly simple and powerful thoughts, and I just wanted to share them with you this morning. Prior to this, I do want to shout out to Daniel and to Sebastian for accommodating my very high maintenance technology requests. I am at the mercy of a bit of technology, although I do have the old-fashioned just in case. So bear with if anything goes a little bit wrong. So the topic of the leper has, or leprosy or some of the other related rituals and offerings that we've read about this morning, they've been well covered, haven't they? In books, presentations, and in great detail. There are many topics that we'll look at this morning that we could cover in a much more comprehensive way. However, I don't want to do all the thinking for you. I just want to help you to think about a few things and allow you to prepare yourself for the remembrance of our risen Lord. So, my mouse is working up. Let's kick off by looking at Leviticus 14. We're just going to run through. It was fairly comprehensive. We're just going to pick out some of the process that was involved in the cleansing of the leper. So first up, we had the inspection of the priest. So the priest came to you. He had to come to you outside the camp because you are a leper and you are not allowed inside the camp. We had to have two living and clean or not unclean birds. We had to have some cedar wood. We had to have a scarlet yarn. We had to have some hyssop as well, which is that little branch of the purpley kind of flowered stuff in the bottom, middle right corner there. And we read that you had to take one of those birds and kill it over an earthen vessel over running water. And then with a live bird, you have to take the live bird, the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, and dip it in the blood of the dead bird. And then we had to sprinkle seven times on the person that was being cleansed, and then they could be pronounced clean. And they would let the living bird go into the open, and then the cleansed person in verse 8, they would have to wash themselves. Before they did, they had to shave all the hair off of their body. And I know I've got a razor up there, but I don't think they would have had quite the ease of a razor back then. I don't know how they used to shave their hair, but I can't imagine it was a quick process. And I think it might have been a fairly painful and probably not so pretty process. But anyways, they had to shave themselves, wash themselves, and then they could go into the camp, but they couldn't go into their tent for 7 days. On the seventh day, having been inside the camp but outside your tent, you had to once more shave any hair that might have started to grow. You had to wash your clothes and you had to wash yourself one more time, again, probably in a river somewhere nearby. And finally, you were clean and you were inside the camp and you were allowed inside your tent. But we read that the process doesn't finish there. We know that on the eighth day, verse 10 tells us on the eighth day, you had to take two perfect male lambs and one ewe lamb a year old, and all without blemish. You had to take a grain offering, which is 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with a little bit of oil. And then we had to have one log of olive oil. Now, a log, in case you're wondering, I did do a metric conversion, and it was roughly 2/3 of a cup of olive oil. Verse 12 also says, I have to take one of the male lambs and present it for a guilt offering or a trespass offering. Some versions may have translated that. And we then had to use that as a guilt offering, present it with the olive oil as a wave offering before God. The guilt offering or the trespass offering was to be killed in the same place as the sin and the burnt offering, which was coming after this. So before we get to the sin offering and the burnt offering, we're still going on the guilt offering. The priest would take some of the blood from the guilt offering, and he would put it on the right earlobe and the right thumb and the right toe of the person that is being cleansed. He would pour some of the oil on his left hand and then do that. He would then sprinkle 7 times on the before God. He would then take some of the oil again that was in his left hand. And he would put the oil. So the first time it was the blood that he would put on the earlobe, the thumb, and the toe. And then the second time around, he takes some of the oil and he puts the oil over the blood where the blood had been put on those places. If there was any oil remaining in his left hand, he would then put that over the head of the person being cleansed. And then verse 19 and 20 run through, the priest then would perform a sin offering and after that a burnt offering as well. And then verse 21 to 30, it outlines a similar process for people that couldn't afford a regular cleansing. And there was just a slight switch in the animals and the things required. Now, the primary purpose of the guilt offering was to atone or to make atonement for trespassing on the Lord's holy things, and that included holy objects or his holy people. And since the nation of Israel was a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to the Lord, this skin disease or leprous person would have been originally counted as one of those holy things who through uncleanness had been expelled out of the community. So therefore the guilt of the trespass offering was almost essential, or was virtually essential, for them to be restored and brought back into the community. So effectively there's two parts to this cleansing process. You've got the physical cleansing, and then you've also got the spiritual cleansing. So let's just summarize all of that here. So the process took roughly, in my estimations, 8 to 9 days. 1 day for the inspection of the offering, 7 days outside the camp. So it was the first dove offering. 7 days outside the camp, 1 day, I'm assuming that all of those offerings can be done in 1 day. The priest may not have always been immediately available, so timings could have been longer. There were roughly, I counted, about 24 steps, give or take a few either side of that, but there were roughly 24 steps, and there were 5 animals and 6 other things that were involved in all of that. So we had 2 birds, 3 lambs, piece of cedar wood, scarlet yarn, hyssop, grain, flour, and then olive oil. Can we just take a minute to comprehend what an exhaustive process that is, brothers and sisters? It's such an immense effort, isn't it, huge effort and quite costly as well. Or bearing in mind as well, the leper was outside the camp. They couldn't even bring in an income. So to afford all of this would have been quite something else, wouldn't it? But we can take a moment to think how much was involved and how massive of a process it was. And bearing in mind, my estimations are probably on the more generous side, more optimistic side. It could have taken even longer than that before someone could become both physically clean and spiritually clean. And it made me wonder to myself, if it were me, would I even be bothered trying to get clean, going through all that rigmarole, all of that? Because it seems to me it'd be far easier, wouldn't it, just to stay in my state of uncleanness and not have to go through all of that stuff. It's just an out loud thought. But to better answer this question, let's delve into it a little bit more, like what it was like to be a leper. So this is outlined in a previous chapter, Leviticus 13, and in verse 45 and 46, it says, a leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So it doesn't sound like much fun, does it? And it's interesting, I think, that the leper had to cover their upper lip, and it's because it was thought that the leprosy spread through respiratory droplets from untreated infected people. Now, I don't know about you. We had a brief experience of that during the COVID pandemic where we had to put the mask on, and I don't know how many of us loved that experience. But this was something that these lepers had to deal with on a permanent basis. And I think it's probably fair to say, it's true to say, that lepers were some of the most despised people in the land. They were cut off from friends, they were cut off from family, they weren't allowed into the campsite, and if you weren't in the campsite, that meant that you couldn't worship in the temple. They didn't have a house, they were exposed to the elements, they had to kind of scavenge and forage for any food that might have been around. They had to live off the land wherever they could. And it wasn't uncommon for lepers to band together a little bit. There were colonies of lepers, I guess, kind of watching themselves gradually decay away, and leprosy kind of had that rotting flesh stench. I think it's fair to say it was a fairly bleak outlook for anyone that had leprosy back in the day. No social life or spiritual life, being outside the camp, and a diminishing physical existence. So coming back to that question about staying in our state of uncleanness, hopefully it's now more obvious why someone who had the rare chance of being cleansed after recovering from leprosy would go to such an extreme length to become ceremonially clean. It starts to make more sense, doesn't it, why someone would go through all of that, leaving behind a life of complete social exclusion. And there was a lot of shame involved as well. And having come through that, to feel the most liberating a sense of joy and belonging again back in to the community. But also not equating, hearing impaired people to lepers. It's really coming from the context of, social inclusion and exclusion in the context of leprosy and how they were socially excluded. So did you see the joy and emotion, the appreciation of that hearing impaired man simply because a few people, for a few minutes in the day, he was treated like everybody else? And it's an incredibly moving account, I think, of the community around that spent, a whole month just to go out of their way to make one person's life feel included in society for just a small fraction of the day, over 1 month of planning and effort. And it's interesting, isn't it, in our busy society, even though things, I think, are improving more, with regard to people with impairments, often we can unconsciously omit to sort of think about how we can be more inclusive in our own interactions and in finding more permanent ways to include those who have physical or mental impairments. And I think, like all things, when it's not my problem, the solution will usually fall on the other person, the other party. And I'm sure we would never be, we would never think this callously, or we'd never, intentionally be this cruel in our social exclusion. But sometimes, potentially, and this is an extreme example, but we could be tempted to like, you're deaf. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. If you can work out how you can communicate with me in a way that's convenient for me, we can have a chat then. Again, I don't think we'd ever think like that. We wouldn't be as callous. And yet, there's still elements of our community that could happen to. And it takes a really special person, doesn't it? A really special person who was willing to put in the effort to reach out to those and bring people into the community. And we 100% know someone special like that, don't we? He spent his life reaching out to those, and is represented on the table before us this morning. And we're going to quickly illustrate how Jesus set this example of reaching out. In Matthew, we read about Jesus and the leper. So while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. Do you know anyone else that would be willing to actively reach out to someone with leprosy at the expense of your own uncleanness, because knowing that in touching them, you'll make them clean and you'll bring them back into the community? And leprosy has been used throughout the Bible as a symbology for representing sin. And it so powerfully represents sin by paralleling the gradual and corrupting influence and impact on one's spiritual life that leprosy has on your physical body, separating one from the spiritual family and also separating from a relationship with the Father. And so when this leprous man reached out to Jesus, his request was to be, "Make me clean." He didn't say, "Take my leprosy away." He said, "If you will, you can make me clean." And I think this was in reference to a second part of that offering where of the leper's recovery, where the leprosy had already been healed, and now the person was asking to be ceremonially made clean. And so they could return to fellowship and to worship. And his request to be restored with his spiritual family and with God, was his acknowledgement that, and recognition that his leprous nature that he bore, where it was his sins that made him spiritually unclean rather than his leprosy that made him physically and ceremonially unclean, it was that realization, along with his expression of his faith, that Jesus had the power to heal and to clean and to forgive. And what an amazing response then, that Jesus willingly reaches out when seeing this man's broader understanding of that fact and of his condition. He willingly reached out and said, "I will, you are clean," and therefore restoring him to his family and back to his God. And we ourselves suffer from the effects of spiritual leprosy and sin, don't we? That same Jesus, though, who reached out to that leper then, is reaching out to us today, ready and willing to clean us and restore us to our Father and to each other and our spiritual family. So, compare and contrast. In contrast to the processes of the Old Testament cleansing of the leper, we know from Hebrews 3 that Jesus is our new high priest. He is the high priest that we can go to. And he is also, among many other things, he is our perfect atoning sacrifice for the guilt offering, for the sin offering, for the burnt offering. He is that perfect sacrifice. And it's his willingly poured out blood that is on the table before us that is able to cleanse us and make us whiter than snow when we accept in faith and we reach out to his outstretched hand. And we see that in 1 John 2 and 1 to 2. It says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the whole world." So, for us, there's no longer an 8 or 9 day waiting period, or a 24-step process that involves 5 animals and 6 objects before we can be cleansed. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has closed that gap and has made a way for us to be cleansed instantaneously. No more waiting for the priest to be available to inspect us and cleanse us. We can call out to our Savior, our Lord, at any time, acknowledging our shortcomings, our leprous nature, and in faith seeking his forgiveness. We can do this on a beach, having a quiet moment. We can do it on the bus, on the train, in the car, on the way to work, anywhere, anytime. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, doesn't he? He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are thirsty and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And hopefully this morning we've been able to see a small part of how Jesus makes our burden light. So as we come to remembrance of our Lord this morning, after considering all that Jesus has done for us, is there any room, or we might ask ourselves, is there any room remaining for us to be unmotivated to become clean? We come to the table of the Lord, and without being respectful this morning, we might say, we come to the table, the washing place of our Lord. Let's not choose to remain in our state of uncleanness, without the camp, without the Father, and without hope. But rather, let's avail ourselves of that opportunity, that instantaneous cleansing power that is now open to us in the sacrifice of Jesus and the love and the mercy of our Father. And having been cleansed, let's feel the same way that that leper would have felt when he first was allowed back into the community, when he was allowed back into a relationship with his family and with his Father as well. And we're shortly going to sing the words, "Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you." And how do we do this? By following in the footsteps of our Lord, keeping our eyes wide open to the needs of our brothers and sisters around us, and especially those who feel like they're outside the camp. Ensuring that our activities and our mindsets are inclusive of all the Father's holy treasures and of his family. And in closing our reflections this morning, let's be thankful. Can we be thankful that Jesus didn't have the attitude of "not my problem, you work out how to clean yourself," but rather he spent his entire life passionately consumed with reaching out to those in need and extending to them the blessing of fellowship, bringing them within the camp and providing full access to the Father.